I think many of you probably will not be surprised by anything that happens here this evening. There won't be anything unexpected in what I am about to say or what the choir will sing or what happens here for the next 42 minutes. I suppose that is probably a lot of the reason why you all have come. We have come to be given the comfort of the familiar, to have a memory rekindled, right? To sing the old songs and to see that beautiful little church around the corner, and to remember a simpler, less stressful time maybe in our own lives. You all know the story. You all know what this is about, and you all know the gap between the story, the beauty of the ideal, and what is waiting for you right outside those doors just as soon as you leave. A very imperfect, a very hard, a very cold, unforgiving world. You may not know me very well, but from here, I know this about you. You are all pretty smart. I can say that because you all showed up in the right place on the right day at the right time, when there were countless other claims on your time and the stores at the mall are still open. But if you will permit me, allow me to say that at least judging from here, it doesn't look as though there are many of you who know much about sheep. This is probably not a shepherd crowd. We're more like a professional crowd, an intellectual crowd, an NPR crowd, a hardworking, hard-studying crowd. We are an indoor crowd. Shepherds are an outdoor crowd. They're a low-skilled worker crowd. They are in the NASCAR crowd. Every year at Christmas, this same little story is appointed to be read, the version of the story of the Nativity found in the Gospel of Luke. And what is remarkable about Luke's version of the story is that it does not center on the drama of Joseph and Mary and the inn and the baby in the manger. All of that gets mentioned, but it gets mentioned in the simplest, most direct way possible. It's like reading the Bethlehem police blotter. Traveling couple in town to visit benefits office. Credit card declined at Motel 6. Trespass charge for breaking and entering a barn. Baby born on premises. Officer gave warning and sent them on their way. That is pretty much it. The real drama in Luke's story takes place with all the adjectives and all the action out in the fields where the shepherds and the angels are. It's on the cover of your leaflet. You might think that in telling the story of Christmas, Luke would give a little more attention to the mother and the baby and the dangerous circumstances. But all of that gets packed into a single sentence. It is the story of the angels and the shepherds upon which Luke lavishes attention. And to make that story all the more interesting, here is what you need to know about sheep. Sheep do not do well without adult supervision. Sheep need to be managed in large groups, because they have a bad tendency either to wander into trouble or to eat stuff they really should not eat. Sheep are not gentle, sweet, mild animals. Sheep are stupid. And they are stubborn. And when you are out in the middle of the field in the cold managing sheep, your career has nowhere to go but up. That is the setting Luke is describing. Now, here is the story. God has a secret that has simply got to be told. After a long, long time of waiting, God has decided to act so as to get right down in the muck and mire of our own lives. to enter into the frame of our story. And God absolutely cannot wait any longer to let someone know what has happened. I suppose today God would have posted something on Facebook or sent out a tweet. Happy new arrival in Bethlehem, hashtag need cradle. But in the story we have, the message is delivered by angels, literally by messengers, by carriers of a message. It is meant to teach us something about the God who is arriving tonight in Bethlehem, that this news is not announced to the kings or the presidents or the prime ministers or the financiers on Wall Street. It is not announced to the Forbes 100 or to People Magazine's top 25 celebrity hot list. The angels find the people on the farthest fringe of society to share the news. And then what happens is the most remarkable part of the whole story, at least if you are a shepherd. The shepherds run into town, and they leave the sheep in the field. Think about it. Luke says they went with haste. There is no way to go with haste when you are driving 100 sheep. And the story does not relate that the shepherds showed up at the manger with a giant flock of sheep bleeding all around the edges of the frame. Here's how stunning this message was. The shepherds ran into town and left the sheep in the field. It's like the parking lot attendants ran away from the booths and left you and all of the other drivers in a line waiting to pay to get out. It's like the baristas at Starbucks left their places at the counter and left all of us poor, under-caffeinated coffee snobs standing in line. It's like all the home health care workers suddenly ran out of our elders' homes and left them there at home alone. The news is so stunning that all of the people that we depend on but never really give a second thought to, all the people who are out in the cold in our society, who only make a minimum wage and by no means a living wage, all of them upon whom we depend to get our lives done, all of them disappear suddenly and go running to see this thing that has happened. So there are three ideas to take away from this old story that is new again every year. Three ideas, at least if you want to get more out of Christmas than just a reminder of old familiar things. The first is that the news God cannot resist sharing goes not to the people with the most influence or the most power, but the people most in need of hope, the people out in the cold. The second thing is that the measure of the impact of that message is the simple fact that the people who hear it are given such hope that they are willing to leave behind all of what little they have in this world to come running just to get a glimpse of the promise. The people out in the cold, they don't just hear it. They get it, and it changes everything. And here's the third thing. The third part of the message is the part that applies to us. Because, friends, we are not out in the cold. We are not the people living almost beyond the fringes of our society. We, in the church, are the living body of Christ. The little baby born in the manger grows into the man who preaches forgiveness and justice and reconciliation. And that man becomes so obedient to God's will in his life and so uninterested in fame and power and money and control that the world regards him as a criminal. And that criminal gets executed on a cross and finally becomes the means by which God breaks down the power of sin and death over all people everywhere, whether or not they get it. And when all of that has happened, the story isn't just told to us again and again, year after year. At Christmas, now the story is us. We are now the message of hope because we are the body of Christ. We are the bearers of that message of the angels out in the cold. Tonight, that message is going out again to the people out in the cold. The people who are so desperate, friends, for peace, for hope, for an end to the violence that surrounds them, for a chance at the security that we take for granted. They are so desperate for a message of hope, hope that we are meant now to offer them. Because we are here as the living bearers of the message of that child. And we are the ones who are called by his name. The God with us lived and died and rose and lives still in this place, in these heartbeats, in this community of holy hope. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us today, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen.